Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The defense team representing the person charged with killing Anna Kempner aboard a Carnival cruise ship asked for 90 more days before the trial, and they got it. Kind of what we were wondering if this would happen. We're talking about this last week. So let's simmer with that for just a moment, because this is the same defense team that waived the transfer hearing, the same team that had their 16-year-old client sign a written request to be prosecuted as an adult, voluntarily giving up the protections of a juvenile in the juvenile system, the same team that let the Speedy Trial Act clock run without filing a single challenge for 3 months. Every signal out of the defense was speed. Move fast. Don't contest. Don't delay. Get to the trial. And then 18 days before the jury selection was supposed to begin in a Miami federal courtroom, they filed a motion asking the court to push everything back to September. Was that the original plan? I don't know the answer to that, but surprised, not surprised that I guess we're here. We talked about this last week, saying this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why, from the perspective, in my opinion, of the defendant, and I seems pretty dead to rights, quite honestly, in this case. But from the perspective, though, of a fair trial, of no appellate issues down the road, of, you know, give everybody the ample time they need really to prepare for a murder trial. Let's do it the right way. It seemed rushed, and I'm not saying, I wasn't bringing it up to be like, hey, let's get some more time for the defense to do better. But you don't want appellate issues. You don't want this to go on for years and years and years and years, or if it can just be done right the first time. So it appears the extra time pushing this into September is going to give it at least that. Don't be surprised if you see a pushback even further. I'm going to say that right now. So how did we get here? Let me give you a little update on that very quickly, and then we'll get into what this all means going forward. In case you're new to this case, by the way, we have all the info for you here on the channel. Just look up Anna Kempner on our channel, and you will get everything you need to know about this case going back to its inception, when the crime actually took place. We've been on it since then. So press subscribe, go back and look if you want to get a full, super in-depth context on it. And if you got questions, drop them in the, or thoughts, drop them in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. Press subscribe while you're at it. So here we go. Let's go back. Let's take a closer look at the timeline here. The June 1st trial date gone. September 8th is what we are looking at now. And the question everybody following this case should be asking isn't whether the delay was justified. It's what changed, what happened between April 22nd and when the defense entered that not guilty plea and demanded a jury trial, and May 13th when they told the court they weren't ready. What happened? What changed? If anything, or was this the plan all along? To understand why that question matters, you have to understand how this case has moved as fast as it has, not by normal standards, but by any standard. Anna Kempner was found dead aboard a Carnival Horizon, the cruise ship, on November 7th of 2025. She was 18 years old, a senior at Temple Christian School in Titusville. She was a cheerleader. She was on a family cruise with her father, her stepmother, her siblings, her grandparents, and her stepbrother, Timothy Hudson, who was 16. That is the suspect, the man charged in this case. And they shared a cabin. Anna's body was found by a crew member concealed under a bed. A medical examiner determined the cause of death was mechanical asphyxiation. Someone stopped her from breathing. Mechanically meaning like this, with a chokehold. The FBI took jurisdiction immediately. The ship was in international waters and the investigation moved. Sealed juvenile charges were filed on February 2nd of 2026. Hudson surrendered the next day. And by February 6th, there was a hour detention hearing. A magistrate judge found probable cause for both charges, but released Hudson to his uncle's custody with GPS monitoring and conditions. Then February 23rd, Hudson's own defense attorneys had him sign a written waiver requesting that the case be transferred to adult court. He was originally being looked at and charged as a juvenile. And according to the records, he's the one who chose, or his team did, to go to adult court. Why? I don't know what the reasoning is there. They, whatever reason, found it advantageous. He gave up his right to fight the transfer. Judge Beth Bloom entered the transfer order 2 days later, and by March 10th, the federal grand jury had returned a superseding indictment charging Hudson as an adult with two federal felony counts. And on April 10th, the adult transfer was finalized, and the case was unsealed. On April 22nd, Hudson pled not guilty and requested the jury trial 5 days later. April 27th, the court set the trial for June 1st. That's the pace. I know, it's a lot. You almost never see that in a federal murder case. And then it just stops. Just the other day. It's just, oh, we're moving it. Breakneck speed, and all of a sudden we're not going to? That's interesting. On May 13th, the defense filed document 74 of the docket, an unopposed motion to continue the trial. The filing itself says it plainly. This is the first request for a continuance of the trial sitting in the case. And one of the primary reasons the defense gave was that they needed more time to review what they called the government's voluminous discovery productions. And there's going to be a lot. And they probably need it. The defense is telling the court on the record that they have not finished reviewing the evidence against their own client 18 days before trial in a case where the charges carry a maximum sentence of life in federal prison. That's why we're screaming last week, this seems a little crazy that we're pushing this fast. Why is that? What's the reasoning here? Is it truly in the interest of the client? Noting that courthouse thought June 1st was happening. It really couldn't. The adult transfer was finalized barely 7 weeks before the trial date. Discovery had come in stages. The first batch on February 19th, the third round as late as April 7th and 8th. You're talking about a murder case with a second felony count added by superseding indictment, sealed proceedings that spanned months, and an autopsy report that the medical examiner's office has refused to release to the public, and a 16-year-old defendant being tried as an adult in one of the busiest federal districts in the country. 5 weeks of trial prep doesn't really get that done. It was never going to get that done. If the interest was truly that of Mr. Hudson, in my opinion. So why was June 7th on the calendar at all? Standard procedure? Court sets a date after arraignment because that's what courts do. Maybe somebody wanted the pressure of a deadline, even if it was never realistic. Either way, the date was a placeholder. Maybe not a plan. or that plan changed. And then the defense finally said it out loud. Nobody on the other side argued, because everybody in this case realistically does need more time to prep. But it is the right to a speedy trial. He had it. And maybe they thought, let's just keep this on track. Maybe we can go to trial. Maybe this will make the most sense, or maybe it won't. And at the very last minute, it won't. The defense obviously benefits from the delay, more time to dig through evidence, more time to challenge what the government has, more time to file pretrial motions, suppression challenges, evidentiary fights, whatever their strategy required. If there's something in that discovery they think they can keep out of the courtroom, September is when they make that move. 3 months is a window to reshape the case before a single juror sits down, but the prosecution benefits too. And you can see it in what they didn't do. When the defense filed that motion, AUSC Miss Lopez, the prosecutor trying the case, had no objection, none. If the government believed that delay would hurt their case, that witness would forget details, that evidence would go stale, that public attention would drift. They would have fought the continuance if they thought it was going to be an issue, and they didn't. Tells you right there, the prosecution is confident their evidence holds regardless of when the trial happens, and they're probably grateful too, because that also gives them more time to prep. September, December, next year, they believe what they have is solid. When will this trial take place? I'm going to tell you, it's probably not going to be September, but I know that is what's on the record. And there's something else the prosecution gains from the extra time. The bond revocation motion is still unresolved. Government filed a formal request in April 13th, asking Judge Bloom to detain Hudson pending trial under the Bail Reform Act. Hudson remains on GPS monitoring. He's living at his uncle's house. He's been seen outside. He's spending daytime hours at his father's landscaping business. If the government gets him detained before September, that dynamic changes a bit. A detained 6-year-old facing life in federal prison makes a different decision than when living at a relative's house with an ankle bracelet. Detention doesn't just affect where a defendant sleeps, it affects what the defendant is willing to consider. Meanwhile, Anna Kempner's family is still waiting. Her father, Christopher Kempner, said publicly that the family is troubled that Hudson hasn't been taken into custody despite the severity of the charges. Every month of legal strategy is another month that family sits with the worst thing that's ever happened to them and no resolution in sight. So here's where I'm at. The motion itself, document 74, signed by Assistant Federal Public Defender Evan Cool, filed under Federal Public Defender Hector Dopico, and it requires a 90-day continuance for three reasons. One, the defense counsel needs more time to review the government's voluminous discovery. Two, lead counsel has two other special set federal trials scheduled for the coming months. So you got to be fair. If you want to truly be able to be there for your client, it's difficult to do that when you have other ongoing trials actively taking place when this one was set. So that's another big consideration if they want that person to be representing them effectively and vigorously. They have one on a June 16th, one on July 13th. So that's a big thing. Three, family obligations related to the upcoming summer school holidays are the other thing that has been listed. I don't quite understand what that means other than school's out. Like, well, we got to move our family vacations, our next one around the murder trial. I don't think that's quite what it means, but it certainly makes you go, well, that's an interesting way of putting it. They're legitimate reasons. Nobody is questioning that. Defense attorneys carry multiple cases. Scheduling conflicts are real, but stay with the bigger picture for a second. This is a defense team that didn't fight anything for 3 months, didn't contest the adult transfer, didn't challenge the charges, didn't ask for a single delay through sealed proceedings, a superseding indictment, a detention hearing, and an arraignment. Every move they made said, we are ready, we want this, bring it. And then they opened the government's evidence files and asked for 3 more months. Could have been the plan all along. Probably was the plan all along. Have it there in case it makes the most sense for us to take the trial early. But if it doesn't, all we got to do is file this. That might have been the thought process. The motion says this is the first continuance request. It's also arguably the most honest acknowledgement from the defense. This case is bigger than the timeline suggested. You don't ask for 90 days because you're confident. You ask because 90 days is what you react to when you've looked at what you're up against and realized you need more time. It'll probably need more than 90 days. September is what we're looking at. What will happen come September? More time? A plea deal? That's where I'm thinking it might be landing at some point. What are your thoughts? There's a version of this where the defense moves fast on purpose, waives the transfer hearing, requests adult prosecution, doesn't fight the timeline. Makes it look like you got nothing to hide, although the evidence clearly shows that you do. And then when nobody's watching as closely, quietly ask for the time you actually need to build a defense. It's not reckless, it's calculated, and not all that surprising. Either way, the person charged with killing Anna Kempner is the one who asked for more time and got it without a fight. So what happens now? We wait for September 8th. The detention question is still open. The government wants Hudson behind bars. The defense says he's complied with every condition of his release so far, so there's really no justification to revoke it other than it's a murder charge. A judge has to decide that, and that could change. And that decision has consequences that go beyond logistics. If Hudson is detained, the defense loses the ability to consult with their client on their own schedule. Meetings that happen at the facility, on facility time, pressure's a little different. Conversations are a little bit different. Pretrial motions could reshape what the jury actually hears in September, and they certainly will. The memory loss claim, Hudson's mother told a court in December that her son kept repeating he couldn't remember anything from that night. How is that going to play? She also said he'd been off his insomnia medication for two nights on the cruise, including the night before Anna's body was found. This is going to open up time if they're going to do any sort of testing there. Is there anything that can be looked at? Any experts that can be brought in to speak to that? He was also on ADHD medication. Again, we're not saying because you're on ADHD medication, you're going to kill somebody. I'm saying that now because people want to comment really quick when they see ADHD meds. Like, I wouldn't kill anybody. We're not saying you would, and this is not about you. If the defense tries to build something around all of this, diminished capacity, involuntary intoxication, whatever form it takes, the government is going to fight it. Those evidentiary battles happen in the gap. The autopsy report, another big thing here. The Miami-Dade Medical Examiner's Office has refused to release it publicly, citing the active criminal investigation exception. We know the cause of death was medical asphyxiation. We know the manner was ruled homicide, but the full report, the details, the forensic findings, anything that tells the public exactly what happened to Anna in that cabin already more than it already really has is still locked away. It will come into evidence in trial. It will come into play in pretrial motions. Before that, what's in that report could be the single most important factor in how this case is tried. Because it's one thing to know it. It's another to hear it explained in great detail by medical professionals. That could be very impactful. All of these things have to be weighed going forward of, does he want to face a trial? Is he going to take a plea? Is he going to see if they will offer a plea? There's a lot of options and a lot of things that can change between now and September and beyond September as well. We'll keep watching. Give me your thoughts in the comment section. September 8th is the date now. We'll keep watching and talking and analyzing. Looking forward to your thoughts there. We'll continue our conversation in the comments. Links are in the description. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Anna Kempner. This is a case that has been going on for 7 months now. That's the distance between Anna Kempner's body being found aboard the Carnival Horizon and her accused killer sitting at a defense table in a federal courtroom in Miami. 7 months. Kind of quick, really, for a murder case. In the federal system, 7 months from discovery to a body to jury selection is not normal. It is barely heard of. Cases at this level, two felony counts, life in prison on the table, a 16-year-old defendant, wall-to-wall media coverage. It takes a year or more, usually, routinely, to reach trial. Defense attorneys file continuances. They ask for extensions to review discovery. They retain experts, schedule depositions, argue pretrial motions. That process usually stretches for months before a jury ever gets seated. Not here. Timothy Hudson, the 16-year-old stepbrother accused of killing Anna aboard that cruise ship, is set to go to trial on June 1st of 2026 at the Wickie D. Ferguson Jr. Federal Courthouse in Miami. Two federal felony counts, maximum sentence of life in federal prison on each. He pled not guilty on April 22nd, and his defense team has not asked for a single day of additional time. That's what we're going to kind of get into today, as this trial's like set to start in just a few weeks. Your thoughts in the comment section as we work through this. Substack and YouTube are the best places to do that for us to see them and interact. Links are in the description. This isn't a rehash of what happened on the Carnival Horizon. You know the case. I want to talk to you about what's ahead. And if you don't know the case well, guess what? We got gazillions of pieces of content all about it. Just look back for Anna Kempner in our feed, and you can educate yourself literally for days and days and days of nonstop coverage if you watch all of it. There's tons of hours of it, so have at it. What I want to talk to you about is what's ahead, what this trial is going to look like, what the jury is and isn't going to hear, and why this thing is moving at a pace that should make everyone pay a little closer attention. The mechanics first, because they explain the clock. Under the Federal Speedy Trial Act, once an indictment is filed and a defendant enters a plea, the government has 70 days to bring the case to trial. The superseding indictment in this case was returned by a federal grand jury on March 10th. Hudson was arraigned on April 22nd. The defense has not filed a single motion to continue. June 1st falls well within 70 days of the window. Prosecutors have estimated approximately 7 days of testimony, with jury selection and proceeding spanning basically a two-week period. That timeline isn't unusual on its own. What's unusual is the defense's posture. In almost every federal case carrying this kind of exposure, the defense asks for more time. They need it. Discovery in this case includes every FBI report, every forensic analysis, every witness statement, every piece of surveillance footage from the Carnival Horizon. The government provided its first discovery response on February 19th. That gives the defense roughly 3.5 months to absorb all of it and build a trial strategy for a case where their client's life is on the line. For a case of this magnitude, that is razor thin. And this is not about whether you think he's guilty or not. This is about due process. And the weird thing is, they seem to be fine with all of this from a defense perspective. And look, I don't know. Maybe they got a strategy here. I'm not here to say they don't. I'm just saying this seems a little weird, a little rushed, a little odd. Not that I don't think this kid is guilty of sin. I do. I don't think there's really much question about it. But what's driving these decisions? Is it him? Because if you're a defense attorney and you're trying to provide the best vigorous defense you can for your client, rushing through this just seems bizarre. But again, it could be a strategy. Everybody has different outlooks on this, on what's going to benefit their client most. I'm giving you my opinion. That's what this piece is. It is an opinion. It is not a fact of statement about who might be driving this or the decisions that might be being made or who might be railroading this through. I don't know the answer to those questions, but I certainly have thoughts and opinions, and this is them. So why would a defense team accept that timeline? There are real answers to that question, and they deserve serious consideration, because this might be one of the smartest defense plays we've seen in a federal case in a long time. Maybe. Let's look at it from that angle. Start with the biggest move on February February 23rd, Timothy Hudson, with the advice of his federal public defender, signed a written waiver requesting that his case be transferred from the juvenile system to adult criminal court. Not a passive acceptance, a signed written request. The prosecution filed the transfer motion the next day. Judge Beth Bloom entered the transfer order on February 26th. The grand jury returned the superseding indictment 12 days after that. The entire transfer process that usually takes weeks of contested hearings, done in days. On its face, it makes no sense. Why would a 16-year-old facing life in prison ask to be tried as an adult? Because when you're in that position prior, you're not necessarily facing life in prison yet. You're a 16-year-old facing the consequences of a juvenile. Once you understand what the juvenile system takes away, the logic, I don't know, maybe it clicks. It's still a little gray for me. Under the Federal Juvenile Delinquency Act, there are no jury trials. A single judge evaluates the evidence and decides guilt or innocence. One person, one legal mind, reviewing every piece of forensic evidence, every FBI report, every witness statement. If the evidence is overwhelming, a federal judge is going to see it for exactly what it is. But would it be a life sentence? Probably guilty by the judge alone, but the consequences might not be those adult court type consequences. So it's kind of weighing the options there. Adult court gives you a jury, 12 citizens who each have to be individually, convicted beyond a reasonable doubt. 12 people who have to look at a 16-year-old and unanimously agree that he deserves to spend the rest of his life in a federal prison. If one of those 12 hesitates, one person who can't reconcile the severity of the charges with the age of the defendant, one person who gets stuck on a single gap in the evidence, one person who just can't get there, it's a hung jury, mistrial. The whole thing resets. That's a calculated bet. And for a defense team that's seen the discovery and knows what the forensic picture looks like, it might be the best bet available. In their mind, apparently it is. Speed serves the defense in another critical way. Right now, Hudson is on pretrial release. He's actually living with his uncle in a rural part of Central Florida wearing a GPS ankle monitor. Under the terms of his release, he's allowed out during the day in his uncle's custody and has been permitted to work with his father, Thomas Hudson, at a landscaping business. But that freedom is hanging by a thread. Federal prosecutors have filed a motion to revoke his release, arguing that the juvenile release order no longer applies now that he's an adult. And it's an adult case, and that under the Bail Reform Act, Hudson should be detained as a danger to others. That ruling has not come down yet. Every week between now and June 1st is another week the judge could take him into custody. That matters more than people realize. A 16-year-old walking into a federal courtroom in street clothes, sitting at a defense table with family behind him in a gallery, that is fundamentally a different image for a jury than a teenager escorted in from federal holding facilities. Jurors say it doesn't affect them. Research, it says otherwise. The defense needs Hudson free on trial day. And speed is the best way to protect that. There's a third layer. The defense has had the government's discovery since February 19th. They've seen the FBI reports. They've seen the forensic. They've seen what is in that autopsy report the Miami-Dade Medical Examiner has refused to release publicly. If there are weaknesses in the prosecution's case, forensic gaps, timeline inconsistencies, anything that creates reasonable doubt, you don't give the government 12 months to shore those up. You force them to go with what they have right now. Rushing to trial when the evidence is imperfect is a textbook defense move. And the fact that the defense is sprinting might tell you something about what they see in that discovery package. Might. That's key in all this. Might. That's one side of the coin. All of that is a legitimate strategy. All of it could fully explain every decision that's been made. Judge over jury, or jury over judge, rather. Speed over delay. Protect pretrial freedom. Force the prosecution's hand. If that's the whole story, this is a defense team making the best of a bad hand. And maybe doing it well. We'll find out.
So what does June 1st actually look like? Because regardless of the strategy, what matters is what happens inside that courtroom. And a lot of people following this case are going to be surprised by what they hear and what they don't. Jury selection is going to be a fight. This case has been national news for 7 months. Anna Kempner's name, the Carnival Horizon, the circumstances of her death, it's been everywhere. Finding 12 people in the Southern District of Florida who can credibly say they haven't formed an opinion is going to require extensive questioning. Both sides will be looking for different jurors. The prosecution wants people who can absorb difficult evidence and deliver a verdict without flinching. The defense wants anyone who might hesitate at the idea of sending a teenager away for life. Voir dire alone could eat days. The prosecution's case will likely occupy the bulk of that estimated 7-day testimony window. Expect the FBI's investigation from the moment the Carnival Horizon docked at Port Miami, crime scene evidence from inside the cabin, the medical examiner's findings. The cause of death has to be determined to be medical asphyxia, which is when physical force prevents someone from breathing. Surveillance footage from the ship, witness testimony, the physical evidence chain, all that. And then there's the autopsy report. As of mid-April, the Miami-Dade medical examiner has declined to release it publicly, citing the active criminal investigation exemption. That report has been in the hands of both of the prosecution and the defense since discovery was provided in February. But the public has never seen it. At trial, its contents will be presented as evidence, meaning the jury and anyone in that courtroom will hear what's in it for the first time. Whatever that report contains, both sides have had months to prepare for it. The jury will not have had that luxury. The defense's strategy at trial is the open question. Hudson pled not guilty. His mother told his father in text messages days after Anna's death that their son kept repeating he couldn't remember anything. She confirmed in a December court hearing that he was taking medication for ADHD and insomnia, and that he had not taken the insomnia medication for 2 nights on the cruise, including the night before Anna was found. Pause for a quick second here, because we always get this. I'm not talking about you. That's for anybody out there right now who takes ADHD medication and goes, well, I didn't kill anybody. Last I checked, this is about Anna Kempner, not you. Okay? Okay. I'm glad we're good with that. It's like same with homeschooling. People get so triggered. Like, I'm not saying anything negative about homeschooling when we talk. I'm talking about these specific cases and the way these people specifically did it. If you're getting overly triggered by shit like that, you may want to take a closer look inside, because maybe you're not the happiest with your homeschooling past or whatever medication you might be on. Just saying. Or you're extremely narcissistic, one of the two. Or three. I don't know. I feel weird when it's like these are just elements of the case, and then I get comments, well, I didn't do that. We're not fucking talking about you. What are you? No shit. I digress. You probably think that too, when you're reading the comments, like, yeah, that's so? Who are you? I eat lots of pizza 69Z or whatever the fuck the handles are. It's like, I swear to God, sometimes people just go through YouTube looking to try and imprint themselves onto stories and then be offended by the elements of the stories. Well, none of it has anything. People go through life doing this too. They tend to be unhappy individuals. Continuing on. Whether the defense builds its case around memory, mental state, medication side effects is something else entirely. That is what this trial will reveal. We don't know their theory yet. June 1st is when we find out. There's also a wrinkle in the detention fight I mentioned earlier. The defense has pushed back on the government's motion, arguing Hudson has complied with every condition of release, but prosecutors raised a specific concern because Hudson was released without a bond under the juvenile statute. If he violates conditions right now, the only consequence is a contempt proceeding rather than bond forfeiture. They consider that inadequate for someone facing life in prison. Whether Hudson walks into that courtroom as a free person or from a federal facility is an open question. And here's something You also need to understand what's going on. Federal rules of evidence are going to control what the jury hears. A lot of what the public has consumed over the past 7 months, the family court proceedings, the custody battles between Hudson's parents, the sealed juvenile records, the media interviews with people connected to the family, much of that likely never to be presented to a jury. The trial will be significantly narrower, more controlled version of the story than what people have been following in the press and online. It's not a flaw in the system. That's how the federal trial works. But it means the jury is going to be making their decisions based on a version of events that might look very different from the one the public thinks it knows, which may be why they're trying to get this thing going. There's one more thing worth sitting with, and I want to be careful about how I say it because I'm not drawing any conclusions. I'm raising a question. Timothy Hudson is 16 years old. The written waiver, the decision to pursue adult court, the acceptance of this timeline, those are legally his decisions, made with the advice of expert federal public defenders. That's how it's supposed to work. But a 16-year-old doesn't process a decision like this in isolation. He's spending his days with his father. His mother is married to Anna's father. The adults closest to him have access His mother was married to his father. I did say that correctly. His mother is, because it's a divorced couple. I just want to make sure. For some reason, that didn't sound right to me. His mother is married to Anna's father. That is correct. The adults closest to him have access and influence. And that's just the reality of being a kid facing something this enormous. There's an alignment worth noticing here, and it might mean nothing, but it's worth bringing up. If you're thinking about the best possible defense one can have, and like, why would you want this kid to have the best possible defense? He clearly, because I think everybody should have a good defense, because that's their right in this country. That's why. Whether you're innocent or guilty, that's how we work. It's not, well, you look pretty nasty and bad. Let's give you a really shitty attorney. Or let's have you make these decisions, or let's influence your decisions because you're a 16-year-old. And this is best for everybody, dude. Yeah, buddy, let's do this. Let's do it like that. Because that's bullshit. If the reason he went ahead and is wanting to have this trial fast, because that actually is his decision, the right to a speedy trial, and those decisions are being based on somebody else pushing him for their own reasons because it might benefit them a little bit better, that's not okay. That is not okay. A longer defense timeline could have widened the lens beyond the cabin and into the household. Sworn testimony in Brevard County Family Court has already put physical altercations on the record. Andrew Hudson, Timothy's older brother, testified in December of 25 that he was placed in a chokehold and restrained by Chantel and Christopher Kempner. According to Fox News Digital's reporting from that hearing, both parents have filed allegations of instability against each other in ongoing custody proceedings. People close to Anna, including her ex-boyfriend's family and her maternal aunt, reported concerns about the stepbrother's behavior before the cruise. So there's that. Concerns that were allegedly dismissed. A defense team with a year to prepare could have built a case around that household environment. A fast trial keeps the lens right where it is. And I'm just saying, there's a vested interest in keeping it right where it is and not over this direction. I'm not saying anybody, taught him to go, here's how you go kill her or anything like that. But I am saying, it adds a little more noise. It adds a little more context to the mind of a 16-year-old. I'm not trying to dismiss this in any way, shape, or form, or remove guilt where guilt is due. I'm just pointing out the obvious. Is that the motivation? I don't know the answer to that. I'm saying it could be. Anything could be. So could the other things I pointed out. Maybe that's a coincidence. Maybe speed is purely the right legal call and the rest is noise. I don't know. But the question is fair, and I think you guys deserve to sit with it, because there's a lot of noise over there in that household. chokehold allegations of the older brother with Anna's father, the allegations that they knew about potential abuse that was going on and ignored it, those aren't nothing. And they may weigh differently in the mind of a jury if a defense has more than a handful of months to put together a case. Just saying. Again, I don't know. I don't know. Those are the allegations. That's my opinion. On June 1st, 12 people who have probably never heard Anna Kempner's name will sit in a jury box in Miami and take on the weight of this case. They'll hear the evidence, they'll see the forensics, they'll listen to testimony, and they'll be asked to decide whether the person accused of taking her life spends his remaining years in a federal prison. Anna Kempner was 18 years old. She was a senior at Temple Christian School in Titusville. She was a cheerleader. Her family says she wanted to be in the Navy. She boarded the Carnival Horizon on November 2nd with her father, her grandparents, her stepmother, her stepbrother, and her younger sibling, and she did not come home. The legal system moved fast on this one, whether it moved carefully enough, whether the right questions were asked, the right evidence was developed, the right protections were in place for everyone involved is what June 1st will start to answer. We'll be watching for Anna. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage of this case. And give me your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. It's kind of like Murdaugh in a way, where it's like pretty damning evidence here. Not saying you're not you don't deserve what is likely coming to you, but we have to get there ethically. We have to get there by following the rules of our court system. And maybe the rules are being followed because this kind of gets into a gray area. Again, it's a 16-year-old. He is the one who has to say, yes, I want a speedy trial. But he's 16. He's being tried as an adult, and there's a lot of people around him, like I said, who have a vested interest in this going fast. And less spotlight going out over here around the environment which procured the 16-year-old. Again, your thoughts in the comments section, Substack, YouTube. We'll continue our conversation there. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.